In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, and that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. In making our conversation with our Lord in this meditation this evening, I thought we could use the first 11 verses of Acts of the Apostles, this interesting, mysterious, frightening even, story of Ananias and Sapphira, a husband and wife. A man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back some of the proceeds and brought only a part and laid it at the apostles' feet. In this one sentence, St. Luke, the author of Acts of the Apostles, brings us, he draws us right into the insincere intent of this couple here. And right away, St. Peter calls him out on it. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? How is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. St. Peter reveals the truth about the intentions of Ananias and Sapphira here. And it's not good. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and died. And great fear came upon all who heard it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. A lot happens in these six verses here. There's a certain intensity, immediacy of what's happening. The misuse, we could say, of the freedom of Ananias and his wife. She's in on it. She knows about it. That's made very clear in the very first verse, or second verse. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back some of the proceeds. And he drops dead. It's a mysterious occurrence here in the early church. It's a bit frightening. Some people will say, well, okay, actually, Ananias just fell asleep, okay, and then he was brought back and he repented. Well, but we don't know. You know, God is certainly merciful. But our actions do have consequences. And it's a good lesson here from this New Testament scene. And bad actions have bad consequences. And a human act involves the will. It's not restricted to physical doings. When we think about something, when we form an intention, we're carrying out a human act. And that can be good or it can be evil. And again, I think this scene in the New Testament can help us, is maybe wake us up a bit. How are my intentions? In my thoughts, in the things that I carry out and do. I mean, Ananias did bring this money, is all part of the plan. And we'll get into that. Why? Why did he bring the proceeds, some of the proceeds, to the church, the early church, and put it at Peter's feet, making it seem like he was giving everything the total sale of that land was for the church, but it wasn't. He kept some of the proceeds, which was his right. That's not the point here. It's not necessarily a matter of being miserly. Well, ultimately it is, because that's at the heart of the motive of Ananias and Sapphira. They want to keep some for themselves for whatever reason. They want to use it for their own good. But the problem is that they present it as if they're giving everything. And so he fell dead. He fell down dead. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." But Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet and died. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Well, that was it for the, at least those guys were getting a lot of work in that day. They just stopped at those two, thankfully. Okay. But the actions have consequences. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Great fear. Now, some people will take this and say, "See, there you go, the church of fear. You got to be. God is this mean, this this is overseeing Lord who will strike you dead at your first mistake or whatnot." But no, that's not the point at all. The fear, the great fear that came upon the church. Let's look at this in terms of the gift of the Holy Spirit. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the fear of the Lord, perhaps the most misunderstood gift, at least by its title. But we look at the commentary and what it actually is. Basically, it's a fear of offending God. Lord, we love you so much. We should. We want to love you so much that, yes, I have a holy fear of offending you. Ananias and Sapphira could have used some of that fear, that good fear in that moment. Well, okay. Is there planning and plotting? Okay, we'll sell this land and we'll bring it, put it at Peter's feet for the church. Very much in keeping with the way the early church was living, right? Because just before this, remember the description of the early church that we have, how they came together in prayer and whatnot, and shared all things in common. At banquets together, the poor were taken care of. So there's this good environment, this good way of the early church. In fact, the pagans would come and see how they love one another. That's good. There's a good modus operandi of the early church. And I suppose Ananias and Sapphira wanted they were part of that. They were part of the church. But they wanted to feel the good vibes of that, but for evil motives. They wanted to look good in front of the others there in the early church. So I think first, before we get into anything about avarice, even insincerity, we'll get to that, but just pride. And pride, in a sense, is the overarching vice. Of course, we can consider the seven capital sins, the seven capital vices, and pride is at the top. And I suppose in all those others, all the other six, in envy and anger, and laziness and lust, there's some pride in there in some way. And so it's fair to say that, yes, there's a motive of pride on the part of this couple. They want to look good. And that's tempting. St. Jose Maria said, pride is so strong in us that it will die 24 hours after we do. So, and let's not point our fingers at Ananias and Sapphira here too quickly, and maybe just more look at ourselves. Is there any way in which I want to just simply look good in front of the others? That I'm not really living the fullness of the Christian message. I'm not truly sharing in a way that's pleasing to God, but rather a way that might increase the esteem that others have of me in their eyes. The Catechism of the Catholic Church makes it very clear in the section on morality and our life in Christ. There are three elements of a human act: the object, the intention, and the circumstances. And while the object should always be good, we should always try to carry out acts that are good, the object is good, the intention is very important. And the example given by the Catechism is giving alms. It's a good thing. The object of giving alms, that's good. It's helping the poor in a very concrete way. Putting in, for example, $10 at the in the basket at a Sunday Mass. But if the intention is to look good in front of the others, even perhaps waving that $10 bill, holding on to it for a while before dropping it into the basket, so others see, well, that's evil. That's sinful. It's pride. So let's examine our intentions as we carry out our everyday lives without getting scrupulous or over analytical about ourselves, but we're striving to have the same mind as Christ Jesus. That's a good way to put it. St. Paul writes that in his letter to the Philippians. Have the same mind as Christ Jesus. Now, though he was God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He gave himself completely to us. Obedient to God, obedient to the Father. There's no pride in that. Of course, there's no pride in Jesus. He's totally obedient to the Father, obedient unto death and death on the cross. And so, Lord, help us to be humble and help us to be available and yes, upright, sincere. That's another aspect, clearly, of this sin of Ananias and Sapphira. One of the New Testament commentaries on this scene. The sin of Ananias and Sapphira was not that they held back part of the proceeds from the sale of their land, but rather their deception before God and the church. They were not required to sell the land, and their choice to do so shows a degree of generosity. So there's something good there happening. They have good in them. They do want to be generous. However, the hypocrisy of their dishonesty and perhaps their desire to make a good impression negated the good that would otherwise have been accomplished. Each of them fell dead at the revelation of their misdeed, which clearly reflected God's displeasure. The virtue that is opposite of this vice is veracity, which is the practice of speaking and acting in accordance with the truth. Lord, give me veracity. Help me to be sincere. Help me to speak and act in accordance with the truth. And that could be very practical for us too. As Christians, St. Jose Maria said, well, if you want to compare Opus Dei to anything, look at the first Christians. That's the spirit of Opus Dei, trying to, in the middle of the world, trying to sanctify one's work and relationships, trying to live the virtues, sincerity, loyalty, industriousness, humility, generosity, indeed, magnanimity, just trying to live, and sinners that we all are, but trying to live the life of Christ. And in that sense, veracity, sincerity, so powerful, really. God is so good. God loves us so much. If we're sincere, look at the woman caught in adultery. And there she is. It's clear. She's not running away. She's not hiding. She's not making excuses. She's there before the Lord hoping for mercy. Her life, in a way, is there for everyone to see. And not that we should, the point is not to go out and, like now in some of these TV shows, you know, oh, here's all my failings. You know, oh, no. But with Jesus, yes. And, of course, with our spiritual director and in confession, of course, being sincere. And there she is. She's with Jesus, and she has no hope other than Jesus. Woman, does no one condemn you? No, my Lord. Neither do I. Go and sin no more. How merciful Jesus is. How moved he is by the truth, by veracity. Yeah, that woman with the hemorrhage, what, 12 years in one synoptic gospel, right, and 18 in another. If I can just touch him. She comes up behind and touches the cloak of Jesus. And Jesus, of course, was God, but he knows that power has left him. Now, he is all-knowing. He's out of time. He probably knew that it was that woman who touched him. But there are commentaries that say, well, maybe not. Maybe just he's full of grace. Jesus is God. He is the all-powerful grace. He is the kingdom. And this woman with faith touches him. And this exuberant love of God is so, it's so desirous to reach souls. There it goes. It goes to her. And Jesus feels it. Who touched me? And there she is in her sincerity. She's there. And how pleasing that is to the Lord. She needed his grace. She needed curing. She had this hemorrhage. In the Bible, oftentimes these illnesses are symbolic of sin for us. And yes, Lord, help me, because I hemorrhage. I bleed. I sin. I need you, Lord. I can go through the list of pride and envy and anger and lust and gluttony. Lord, I need you. I'm bleeding. I want to touch you. I need that power, that grace that only you have. And Jesus is so willing, so desirous to give it to us. But God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So let's be humble. Let's be sincere. I don't know. What else could Ananias and Sapphira done? Well, obviously they could have just give it all and say, here's everything. And trusted in the Lord. Okay, well, we could use that money for something we want, but we'll trust in the Lord and not go, you know, not go for it. But they could have kept it. They said, well, okay, we'll give some to the church. It won't look as grandiose as our pride would want us to seem, but okay, they could have done that. They had options for the good. I mean, look at Zacchaeus. Remember how that he's a publican. You know, he's despised by his fellow Jews, because he's the one who's got to go and extract the tax money and then give it to the Romans and keep some for himself. And it was common that was done without justice, extracting more than was really due. But anyway, Zacchaeus, he wants to see the Lord. He hears the Lord is walking by, and he climbs that he's short in stature. He climbs that sycamore tree. And there too, the Lord sees him. It's Jesus gives him credit for his effort, because he engages Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down. Come down. Today salvation has come to your home. And the Lord goes and has a meal with him. Now, even before that, others are, as always, criticizing our Lord's association with sinners. And what does Zacchaeus say? He's very sincere. He says, Lord, I give half of my money to the poor. Not everything. He says, I give everything to the poor. No, he says, I give half of my money to the poor. Okay, he probably has a family. He's got to support his family. He's got to, you know, survive. And okay. And if I've defrauded anyone, I pay them back four times the amount. Okay, so he's trying to be just. And that's good. The Lord appreciates that. He commends it. So, sincerity. Help us to be sincere. And, as I say, tell it like it is. A certain peace that gives us. We just say it like it is. And the Lord is so merciful. And your spiritual director wants to help along. He's not going to be surprised by anything. What? The priest in confession are talking about, the priest who has his own bleeding, he's got to take care of, his own hemorrhage that he's got to take care of. So we're all in this together. And someone said, we're in this, all in this boat together, and we're all seasick. Okay, that's the condition of human life. But we have our captain who can calm the waters, our Lord Jesus. So let's count on him and his mercy, and always strive for sincerity, this veracity that is so pleasing to the Lord. Now, other commentaries on this scene talk about sacrilege. In a way, what Ananias and Sapphira had given, it's now connected to the church, it's connected to God in a special way, God who wants to take care of his people, especially the poor. That's an offering to God. And in a way, they kept some for themselves. So in a certain way, the commentators talk about, that was a very bad sin. Because what was due to God, at least what they said was for God, they kept some back for themselves. And here too, we could, in our own personal situation, we can apply this, I think. Depending on what stage we're in our lives, and you guys are young and you're still thinking, okay, what is God asking of me? Okay. But he has already, though, God deserves our best. And we should be generous. And we should give to God, something, right? Some time for prayer, charity with others, helping the poor is in some way. And, as the case may be, our heart. He wants our whole heart. And that's a beautiful thing. And God truly cares for us. God is not outdone in generosity. If we're generous with God, it opens up all kinds of beautiful windows in our lives. We can't even think of right now. But let's be generous. Ananias and Sapphira, if they had given everything, like they said they were doing, think of the joys that would have come their way because of that. And so we too, in our own love for God, our generosity with God, we gain so much. The reward is great. In this life and in the next, Jesus said that to the apostles. But let's really do so. Perhaps we can relate to Ananias and Sapphira here, or that rich young man who goes to our Lord, Lord, what do I need to do to get eternal life? It's a good question. And then our Lord tells him, okay, live the commandments. I do that. Go sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. Oh, wait a second. He went away sad. And even there, I think we can see a certain insincerity. Yes, avarice, we could say, St. Mark says, because he had great possessions. But he was also insincere with our Lord, because he didn't say anything, at least not in St. Mark's account. He just simply went away sad. Had he been sincere, who knows what great things could have happened. Maybe in that moment, maybe for the first time, he realized, wow, I really like these possessions that I have. I really like this life that I'm living, that I'm controlling, that I'm deciding. And now, this Jesus, this Messiah, who obviously respects him, he went to ask him a question, a deep question. So, but this Messiah is asking me to give up everything? Well, if he had been sincere, he would have said that to Jesus. Jesus, wow, that, I don't think, help me. You know, I realize now I'm really attached to my life, to my things, to my ways, to my pride. Okay, we can deal with that. I'll help you, Jesus would have said. But he goes away sad without opening his heart to Jesus. Well, let's open our heart always to Jesus and allow him to, yes, to surprise us with his love, but we have to be generous. A priest just recently told me that the ordination, I don't know if it was his or someone else, another ordination of other priests, but the bishop said to the priest there, recently ordained, just minutes after ordination or whatever, during the homily, okay, you've given your life to God. Today, you've given your life to God. Don't spend the rest of it trying to get it back. And that helped that priest. In our way, depending, again, where we are in our journey, but at some point, whether it be through marriage or through apostolic celibacy, we do have to give our life to God. And we shouldn't spend the rest of it trying to get it back. That's what Ananias and Sapphira were doing. They would say, okay, I want to keep this for ourselves. Now, let's be generous. Let's be trusting. In Pope Benedict XVI, in one of his homilies, he talks about, well, what's really important? The first reading reminds us that the greatest things in this life of ours can neither be purchased nor paid for, because the most important and elementary things in our life can only be given. The sun and its light, the air that we breathe, water, the earth's beauty, love, friendship, life itself. We cannot buy any of these essential and central goods, but they are given to us. Thank you, Lord. They help me to appreciate them. Help me to put my focus there, my desires there, and love, friendship, life itself. And thank you, Lord, for the sun and the air that we breathe, the water. I mean, the earth's beauty. That's the prelate of Opus Dei the letter preparing for Lent, he said, we need to be like Jesus in the desert. Remember how Jesus spent those 40 days in the desert? And it was tough. He was denying himself, of course. Through his fasting and his experience of temptation, our Lord shows us that God is all we need. Do I believe that? Do I live in a way that affirms God is all I need? And yes, God provides. You are a professional man or a college man, and you need, yes, books and computers and to be able to get here and there. You need a metro card, I suppose, or a city bike. Yeah, God, that's part of God's provision. But I don't need all the most recent gadgets or three nights in a row out in the bars. How am I living? How is my generosity with God? Or am I truly generous? Or am I always just trying to take it back? Take my preferences back? Or my ideas? Or my pleasures, my wealth? Well, let's really try to be generous. God is all we need. Well, we certainly see that in the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph. His complete availability, complete gift of their lives to God. Nothing of Ananias and Sapphira there. Hopefully Ananias and Sapphira did have some chance. We don't know, but hopefully they did have some chance of repentance, or maybe they did just go sleep for a while and they came back and were great Christians. But we can't count on that in our lives. Our actions do have consequences. And so let's really try to give our best to God. Let's really trust in God. And like Mary and Joseph, live a life that will lead us to this great, this great reward. They're in heaven. It's okay. It's good to seek the reward. Lord, I want to be with you forever and ever in eternity. Well, he's giving us a chance. Let's bring him the gift of our life. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you've communicated to me this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.